Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop. Right on.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
As we await the arrival of my first guest this morning, Pastor Greg Lewis, who is the president of Souls to the Polls. Just wanted to make a quick announcement. You know, I'm for those who may not know, I'm going to be doing a recording, video recording with Newsmax this afternoon. Any of you who may not be familiar with Newsmax, it is a cable network, a conservative cable network. And so as I've been, you know, planning to be a part of a panel discussion, something told me, maybe ask the question, ask them, what is it, the question? I mean, what am I going to be, what do you want me on for? I mean, what's the topic of discussion? And here's the topic of discussion. Is the Democratic Party catering to extremists, especially after Biden's heavily handed speech in Pennsylvania last week? What? Come on, man. Is the Democratic Party catering to extremists, especially after Biden's heavily handed speech in Pennsylvania last week? Extremists. Let me tell you about extremists. Because we're going to talk about them this evening, this morning. The Oath Keepers. The Boogaloo Boys. The Proud Boys. Those are extremists. So, you know, I'm going to, and I know I'm walking into the lion's den. But they don't know I'm the kind of guy that'll walk into hell with a gasoline jacket on. So I don't have any fear of having a conversation or a dialogue with people who call the Democratic Party an extremist and Joe Biden an extremist. When I give you the definition of the Proud Boys, the Boogaloo Boys, and the Oath Keepers, those are the extremists, you know. Then we'll see. But I'm really looking forward to it. They're going to record it. I don't know when they're going to play it back, but it's a national opportunity, and I'm pretty sure that I'll be the only person who's not a Republican or a conservative. And that's good. You know, I think they're going to have three or four other people. And those odds I like, me against four or five of them, and I'm still going to be the winner. I mean, there's no question that I'm going to be the winner, because I don't care how they slant it. To call Democrats extremists and President Joe Biden extremists, when you see and hear from the Ron Johnsons and the Tim Michaels of the world and the Fox News and the WISN radio networks and all of these other conservatives, there's no way possible, man, when you point out that this is the issue, that these are the problems, Democrats being extremists. So, and also, no, come on, man, I know that what they're going to do, man, is, you know, they're recording it, so they'll cut out things that I'll say, and they'll certainly make it appear and cut it up to the degree that it sounds like they're going to be the people who are sane, and I'm going to be the person who's insane. But it doesn't matter. I am definitely going to get them to understand exactly, you know, what facts are. So let's do this. Let's do this, Connor. Let's just put the guy on who's on the line. You don't need to do any more. Let's put Gary from Sussex up. What's going on, Gary?
Earl, I am proud of you. That's why I listen to your show. You got the cojoneses to go out there and do this. I've heard you before on WISN. That's how I became a fan. When I heard you on the radio, you got your own show. I've been calling you for like 4 years. I respect you. Now you're going to get a little taste of what I go through when I call up on this station, you know. But, you know, you've gotten to know me pretty well, at least by talking, and, you know, we met in person. I'm not an a Republican conservative extremist, and you know that. I'm very fair. I got my own opinion.
But plenty of your brethren are.
Yeah, but I'm not one of the Proud Boys, and there's not a lot of Proud Boys out there. And I
disagree with you. There are many Proud Boys and Oath Keepers and others, and they're extremists. And so let's stop, you know, acting like there's a comparison, that there's no comparison in the Democratic Party. Nobody can say that Black Lives Matter is anything like the Boogaloo Boys, the Oath Keepers, or any of those kind of extremist groups. They're not armed. They don't do any of those things.
Yeah, well, Antifa is. Well, Antifa is one of the...
Antifa's not threatening to overthrow the government, Gary.
Yeah, but look at the damage that they caused and how they got everybody up and running. They would deliver bricks, big blocks of bricks for people to throw through the windshields of our
Gary,
cars.
Hey, Gary.
I'm just telling what I saw.
Is that anything like automatic weapons? I mean, come on, man.
Okay.
I
called you up to sit there and tell you that I am very proud of you. And the fact is, you know, I watched Biden's speech, and I saw him call me, like, me personally, as a MAGA Republican, trying to destroy our democracy and stuff like that. And then the week before, he called me an anti-fascist. And
personally, Gary?
You know, I mean,
personally?
He did not bring the country together.
How could he bring the country together, Gary, when there are Proud Boys, Boogaloo Boys, other racist groups that are threatening to overthrow the government? How is he supposed to bring those people together?
Well, it's really not that many. There's as many as Antifa you guys got, we got the Proud Boys. Hey, but good luck. Wait, listen, I got to get going. I'm sitting in front of my customer's house. The thing is, I'm very proud of you for taking this on, and I think that they'll be fine with you. You just stick to your guns. Just stick to your guns and be
well,
you.
Well, you,
just be
you already know I'm going to do that. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, how you doing, man?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people are the government, and we can never forget that, ultimately. Gary, I would say that you used to be a MAGA, but I would say that since you've been educated a little bit more and that you've actually been able to have conversations, that I really wouldn't consider you a MAGA. I would consider we got MAGA Paul, we got MAGA CJ, you know, that call in. But Gary, you've actually become, I think it's because your wife, your wonderful wife, you've become a little more sensible. And I don't think you should put yourself in that position, because Joe Biden was not speaking about people like you that are hardworking people. We have disagreements, Gary. You and I can disagree, and I hope that you agree with me that we need to get all money out of politics. But I honestly feel sorry for people like CJ and for Paul, because honestly, I don't think that they're very happy people in the first place. Their income is a lot closer to the homeless person on the street than it is to the multi-billionaire like Mega Michaels and Russian Ron.
So Tom, what do you think, man? I'm going to be on again Newsmax, and I know just based on again the way they framed this question, that I'll be the only non-conservative or Republican. Is the Democratic Party catering to extremists, especially after Biden's heavy-handed speech in Pennsylvania?
These poor little snowflakes Biden's speech.
They don't.
Oh my God!
They don't know. They'll outnumber me 4-5-1, but they don't realize they're going to be on the losing end of that.
Well, exactly, and Earl. What I would say to them, so they can't cut up what you say, is I'd say, why can't we all agree that the whole problem is getting money out of politics and Citizens United? Because nobody else on any other show out there will talk about money in politics, except for one like yours. And that is the whole issue. And maybe they can't cut that up so much that they can make you
Tom, my next guest is a friend from, man, a different time, man, and he's Pastor Greg Lewis, and we're going to talk about Souls to the Polls. We're going to talk about how critically important it is for people to get out and vote, and we're going to talk about, if it wasn't so important that people vote, then why are there so many people who are trying to stop people from voting? You know what I mean? If voting didn't matter.
I just want to finish it up, because I know the music's coming. Gary, you're not a MAGA Michael, so don't be voting for Michael. Vote for Uber. And CJ and Paul, if you want to, vote for your MAGA Michaels. Because there is a difference between a Republican and a MAGA. There really is.
Yeah, there is.
And the thing is, we need to make sure that those people on the Republican side have a place to go. And you know what? You agree with 70% of what we say.
Tom,
I'd recommend.
But I do know this afternoon I'll be walking into the MAGA den and not the Republican den. All right, I'm ready for
You're
it.
Exactly
All right,
right.
Got to go to a break.
Thanks, Earl.
My guest.
Earl, when is that show going to be on?
I'll find out. I'll let you know. My guest has arrived. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And my guest has arrived, Pastor. Is a reverend or pastor, man?
Pastor.
Minister. There's a difference between reverend and pastor. One of them has a church or leads a church, right?
Yeah.
Give me the definition, because sometimes I've made mistakes and call a pastor a reverend and a reverend a pastor. And
Actually, I'm the assistant pastor at St. Gabriel's, but I'm going to be taking over as senior pastor at the end of the month.
Congratulations.
I'm Pastor Greg Lewis. I'm Reverend Greg Lewis.
Okay.
But I say Minister Greg Lewis. That covers it all.
Oh, that covers it all.
Yeah, that covers
okay.
it all.
Okay, so Minister Greg Lewis, let me begin by saying, man, we go back to when our hair was black.
Yeah. and that's no longer the case.
And we were about... maybe 60 pounds lighter, both of us.
More than that. 100 pounds lighter, man.
And competed on the basketball court.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man, those were some good times.
Yeah, really. We had fun.
Yeah, we lots really did. Man, and life was easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, people just came and went. And went to work and hung out, those kind of things. Yeah, man, we've been doing this for a long time, Earl.
Yeah, hey man, life was easy. I don't think we ever really knew at that point in our lives just how easy life was. But we've come to know as the years have been added to our lives, and we've been blessed to be able to have those years added to our lives, just how different the world was then and where it is now.
Yeah, man. I'm just thinking about when I first started to hear you on the radio. I used to be listening to the Mark Belling Show.
Yeah.
And you used to be calling in, and you and Mark would be going at it, man. And here
that's
you are now, man. I'm really proud of you, man. You have really developed into quite the personality, the radio personality, man. And you always took yourself serious. That's the one thing that, you know, I'm really proud about, because we don't take ourselves as serious as we should. But you did, and look at you now, man.
Well, I really used to take myself serious when I used to try to hold you on the court. I was a serious defensive player. And you were one of the few that made it difficult for me to ply my trade.
Hey, man. Anyway, yeah, Earl, you was kind of rough now, man.
We were both. But anyway, man, it's good to see you,
man,
Pastor.
It's great. It really
and
is.
And it's good to have you in the studio. It's great to see the impact that you're having in the community. And let's begin, man, Souls to the Polls.
Yes.
You and I have been in Milwaukee basically all of our lives.
Right.
And so we lived through a time, civil rights struggle, when voting was just
right
so important. We didn't have to ask people to go out and vote.
Right.
The elders knew it was a way of life. And our forefathers, our parents, our grandparents knew the struggle, because generations removed from them couldn't vote.
Right.
And so I've voted in every election since I turned 18 years old.
Same here.
I know. So because that was what we were taught.
Right.
Right. That's what we saw. And whether we understood the process or not, it was something that was a vocation in our community.
Yeah, I mean, it was a right that people really struggled for, Brother Earl. I mean, you know, we always hear the man, they did die.
Right.
I mean, it was like, yeah, really, literally, it's not just something people say, but people died. You know, they faced those hoses and dogs and, you know, wow, man, my heart is really kind of, man, when I think about it, you know, it is heart-wrenching to talk about what these people had to go through just to go into that ballot box and be a part of the process.
You know, Greg, Reverend, and when you think about...
Man, I'm Greg.
I know, but when we think about the fact that people want to take that history away.
Yeah.
Critical race theory.
Right. Right?
We don't want to even talk about that anymore, because we don't want people to feel bad.
But you want to talk about making America great again.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's crazy.
It's crazy, man. But I really want to get into with you, Greg, why in our community now the fact that we don't come out in those numbers anymore. And I think it's because so many of us don't believe that the system is going to impact or change our lives.
Yeah, I mean,
do you see that? I mean, you're out here, that's what you're dealing with.
Yeah, man, and people are certainly wrong about that. You know, I think we've overthought things. I mean, we've gotten too smart for ourselves. We didn't keep it simple.
Right.
Because right now, Brother Earl, I don't know if you know, and I don't know if people know here, the state of Wisconsin is only 61% white Americans.
I know.
I mean, you know, people think they don't have power, but the Hispanic community is the largest minority in Wisconsin now, 18.6, and the black community
12.7.
Right. You know, you got the stats. But then what was crazy is that what most people thought was the number for the black community was like 5 or 6%. That's the Asian community. They're like 6%, you know, and then, you know, the sad thing is that the Native American community is only 1.1%. And this was their land, and now they're only 1.1%. And then other minorities fill that out. So there is power, but minorities don't vote because they've been bamboozled into thinking that they don't have any power. That's why it's so important when we say, okay, our white brothers and sisters are split right down the middle in Wisconsin. Yeah.
Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Pastor Greg Lewis. Souls to the Polls, and what's the new organization?
Power to the Polls.
Power to the Polls. At the root of both of them is organizing and getting people out to vote and them understanding the power of that. You know, Pastor Lewis, before we went to break, I was saying to you, and we were talking about the fact that such a small percentage of black people are going to the polls. And you know, we are one of the youngest demographics of blacks in the entire nation. City of Milwaukee has one of the youngest black populations around. Do you think one of the reasons that we're not voting as much as that young, the youth of our people are so young, they don't understand, and the elders are dying out like they are everywhere. But do you think that plays any role in why we're not voting less than before?
Well, you're asking me why those young people don't vote.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we overthink ourselves, brother. We don't keep it simple, man. It's basic. It's numbers, you know, and then we get all this history, you know, and then you get knowledgeable about what happened in the past, and you seem to think that you really don't matter, you really don't count, you know, nothing is really going to change. Those kind of things occur with these young people who are very bright, by the way, and they are, you know, coming into a system that is really kind of putrid,
rigged
now.
Against them. Yeah,
yeah, it's really bad politics. It's this scorched earth politics, Earl, and that's what I keep saying everywhere I go, man. This is scorched earth politics where the people in power will burn up anything. They'll destroy anything, even their own folks, just to stay in power. And people see that. We're not dumb. I mean, you see that. I was saying to you earlier, the elephant in the room right now in politics is the truth. So people will say anything. You know, they'll tell the big lie like Hitler used to do in Germany. You know, tell the big lie until people believe it, and then they start to believe it, and everything becomes skewed. And our young folks are seeing that. They're seeing how we're acting, Brother Earl. They're seeing how we're accepting these lies in our lives and not really standing up for the truth. And they don't want to be bothered with that. And the other thing is this, they just don't believe they have power, man. We were talking about this state is 39% minority. And, you know, we're talking about black, right. Hispanic, Asian, you know, Native American. So they don't even understand, because when you watch TV, Brother Earl, you know, it doesn't seem to associate itself with, you know, a melting pot. It really doesn't. But if you look, man, the culture is really becoming vivid. I mean, the culture of black folks is all over the TV, man. The music, the dancing.
Yeah, it's changed.
Yeah, it's changed. And then you even see black and white couples now, that kind of stuff. Right. So things are changing, and young people are looking. And I'll tell you this, in Milwaukee for sure, Earl, when you don't educate your young folks, when they don't have a fair shot at good jobs, you know, when families are just destroyed like they are, the chickens are going to come home to roost, Brother Earl. They really are. And that anger, see, that anger triggers the behaviors that are going on in our city right now. People probably don't even know what they're upset about. But there's something in their past that is triggering them to be so angry.
So let me say this to you, Pastor Lewis. At the root of what they are suffering is political. And based on the politics that created the environment that they're in, they don't realize that they're in that condition because of politics.
Yeah, well,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so the only way out of that is through the politics, and I like to use the term politricks, that put them in that situation. You can't get out of it unless the politics are changed to get back in favor of them and their lives. They've been written off, and the wealthy have basically taken over, you know, this nation, this world, and so people who don't have money don't appear to have value in the society.
Yeah,
and all of us see that,
right?
And we know that's not right, and then we claim to be Christian,
right?
And we somehow claim to be following Christ.
Yeah.
But yet the least of these.
Yeah.
We don't follow any of his principles.
No, we don't. You know, and Earl, and you talked about it earlier. The way you and I were raised, you know, we had parents who, you know, people laughed at because they took a lot of stuff, man.
Right.
They were strong.
Right.
You know, they marched, man. They were nonviolent.
And sacrificed for us
they
to have a better time.
Sacrificed, man.
A better life.
Exactly. Right. And that kind of strength is not, you know, something that is well attained these days. Man, that is massive strength. I mean, it's like I saw a video the other day. Mike Tyson, Sugar Ray Leonard, and Ali were being interviewed by Arsenio Hall. And Arsenio asked Ali, if you was 20 and Mike was 20, who would win the fight? And Ali pointed at Mike. He said, you know, Mike.
Right.
And Mike said, oh, no. No, 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 no. He said, I'm vain, and I know I'm great. But Ali is the greatest of all time. See, Mike Tyson was a young boy, but he had an old head, and people didn't realize it. But Ali was a warrior, man, and he was willing to die in the ring. You remember when he fought the Holmes?
Oh, yeah.
They said, Ali, you got to stop this, man. He kept on fighting. See, that type of tenacity is not in our system anymore, man. We quit. Every time things don't go our way, we quit. Back then, man, people were willing to die for a cause, Brother Earl. That is not happening now.
So Pastor Lewis, people quit now because, and even back then, there was an orchestrated effort to not give you inclusion.
Exactly.
That's still there today.
It's still there today, but it's a different kind of character that is facing it.
Right.
You know, like I said, Ali was willing to die in the ring. You know, and then there was another thing Tyson said, no, I couldn't beat Ali because Ali was an animal. He was willing to die in the ring. I'm not willing to do that. That's the difference, Brother Earl. Listen, man, Brother Earl, I'm willing to die in the ring.
Right.
You know.
Well, so am I.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, so because you have to challenge the injustice.
Yes.
And there's something unjust about saying elderly standing in a line to vote can't have water. Come on, man. There's something unjust about saying disabled people
you can't
have to return their own. Come on, ballots. You know what I mean? These kinds of things you have to challenge and call out and then expose the people.
Yes.
Who say, well, we're not doing this for any other reason other than I feel like my vote didn't count.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be honest. The things that we are talking about now with all of these different things about election, Pastor Lewis, at the root of them is the fact that when Donald Trump lost, people said on the other side, I feel like, not that I know, I feel like somebody cheated.
Right.
So when do we start responding to what somebody feel like?
Well, with Donald Trump, man.
Yeah, I know.
That was a big lie. I mean, when he was such a sore loser, he had to find some way to, you know, keep his integrity. And he thought that by doing that would make him some type of unimaginable hero.
Well, yeah, superhero.
I mean, so when that happened, man, he was broken. He was so now, like what we teach ourselves not to do. He's crying over this spilled milk, and he was president. Man, you was one of the most powerful people in the world. That's nothing that you ought to be ashamed of, man. But now somebody else is, man. Move aside, and if you want to run again, you can, because you know you get, you know, two terms as a president, but the big lie is accepted by folks in our country, Brother Earl, and that is the critical era of our thought process, is believing that things happen that didn't happen.
So Pastor Lewis, this is what frustrates me the most. We're responding as a country to sore losers.
Exactly.
Come on, man. People crying, saying, listen, man, saying, I think my vote didn't count.
Wow.
Because somebody said that those people were doing all of these things. And so I'm.
I got to ask you this. Who are those people?
In the central cities. You know,
Earl, that's such a man. That's
but that, you know, that's what's at the root of it.
But Earl, that sentiment right there is just so unrational, because we can't get people to vote once.
I know.
Why would you? How do you get people to cheat and vote twice and all that kind of stuff?
But
man,
see,
we can't even
see,
get
Pastor
people to vote
Lewis,
once. Yeah,
truth had and common sense had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Because if people would have known, like you know and I know, the sheer numbers of and percentage of our community that votes and what you have to do to try to get them to vote, you would know that if you're the majority community, your vote did not get washed out by somebody in the central city cheating by a great grandmother.
That's hilarious.
Right? I know, but that's look. So a great grandmother who comes to vote, and she comes and she gets up early in the morning in our neighborhood, in our community, and she struggles. It's in the winter. I don't care what it is, but
which
she
is
knows.
The norm.
Yep, and she has to walk because you know our people don't have the right transportation, the right clothing, all those things, but yet they make it to vote. And then you've got somebody saying, hey, somebody stole my vote. What are you talking about? Somebody stole your vote.
Hey, I got to ask you again, who is that somebody?
You know what? Hey, but that's what angers me, Pastor Lewis. The fact that all of these different things that they're doing to impact and affect people voting at the root of all of it is the anger of people who are upset because they lost, right?
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, the big thing, Brother Earl, is that, you know, people are afraid that privilege is going to be a thing of the past. You know, I mean.
Well, it is eventually.
Yeah, well.
Huh?
And that fear is real.
Yeah. Well, you know, you are, you know, you're a minister. You know anything about the book. In the book, you know, clearly that stuff won't stand forever, right?
No.
And you're not going to overcome that. Listen, we've got to go to a break. I see you on the phone lines. We'll come to you after the break. In the studio is my good friend, Pastor Greg Lewis of Souls to the Poles and
Power to the
Power
Poles.
To the Poles. Yeah. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. Be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789 in Texas, that same number. I'm joined by my good friend and pastor, Greg Lewis of St. Gabriel's, assistant pastor of St. Gabriel's, and president of Souls to the Poles, and
Power to the Poles.
And you know, they both came out of Pastors United.
So Pastors United.
Yeah.
So you wear many hats. Let's go to Dave from Mequon. Hey, Dave, what's going on? You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. I actually have a question for the pastor here, and it's a little concerning. I read something about a faith-based research organization called Barna Group. And they said that 42% of ministers are wondering if they should abandon their vocation altogether. So my question to him is, there seems to be a lot of burnout, according to, you know, from that article that I was reading actually just a couple days ago. And what is his thoughts about that? Is he having that situation?
Hey, Dave, what was the article you were reading? What was at the root of the article you were reading? He doesn't know what that is.
Oh, the Barna Group? Essentially, they're just saying essentially that there's skyrocketing burnout, you know, with the pandemic and politics, and a lot of them now are thinking about just leaving the vocation altogether. And it's just, there's just a tremendous amount of stress. And so I'm just wondering if you've seen that within the community of Milwaukee.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can kind of speak to that. You know, I tell people, man, I quit every day.
Yeah.
I'd be like, hey, man, I quit, you know, because it is a lot of stress. But then you get up and you go back at it. You know, you take a shower, you get back to work. But, you know, most days, you know, it is kind of it's stressful to be dependent on, counted on, and always in demand. It really is stressful. And pastors, that's what they are, you know, dependent on, counted on, always in demand, you know, pray for me, those kind of things. And then, you know, just being a human being. I mean, really, man, you know, you are, you know, kind of held to a higher standard in your community. And, you know, you can't really, you know, you never really can let your hair down. You know, you always have to be on point, or else, you know, your integrity will be challenged. And I think that one reason why folks are being discouraged because a lot of folks aren't coming to church. I mean, churches are empty. Man, Listen, I'm going to tell you something. People think that there's money in the church. There's no money in the church. You know, most of the black churches in Milwaukee are supported by the pastor and the pastor's wife's retirement fund, Social Security. That's what pays the bills. You know, but if you see a few of those churches that are thriving, you think that that's how all churches are operating. But no, the church is really having a really bad time right now.
Well, COVID had a major impact.
Oh, COVID was huge.
Not to mention it's part of the financial troubles in our community.
Exactly.
That people struggling. They don't have income. And I always try to get people to understand if you walked in our community and you saw what people are, there aren't businesses, viable businesses in our community,
right?
You know, and so
homeownership,
right?
Low.
Home, oh, yeah, all of those things that when you and I were young men,
man,
was there,
they were booming.
Yeah, those things have all dissipated, and it's at the root of what we're dealing with. Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, how you doing? What's going on?
Hey, Earl. First off, thank you for what you do, Pastor.
Bless you.
And then second, one thing I would really recommend for people this year when they go to vote is, one, do not take a provisional ballot. They don't get counted. Second, make sure you check your voter registration before you actually get there. And third, make sure you have your phones with you and take video of anything where you are being harassed, where you are being, standing in these long lines for hours and hours on end. Please, everyone, get out and vote. Register and vote. No thoughts and prayers. It's register and vote. That's the way we're going to change this country and make sure that MAGA Michaels and Russian Ron do not get in to office and destroy the state of Wisconsin.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Pastor Lewis?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, because intimidation is definitely a factor at the polls. And I don't mean intimidation by people being afraid, Earl. I mean intimidation by people not really understanding the process. And then you get somebody in there who is expressing a huge a difference with you, first of all, and then, you know, they're helping you to believe that they're the experts at this, so when you come in, you know, you feel like you're at a disadvantage. That's the kind of fear that is being put into our community. And what he was talking about is real. You know, you need to, you know, go there, be registered before you get there. But that doesn't mean that you can't register when you get there, but try to do all of that stuff. I would even say go early vote, man, because when I was early voting, it was easy.
They're trying to do everything they can to prevent that, as if
we had to fight for that, Earl.
Yeah, I know you did, but they act as though that the only people who early voted were Democrats.
Right.
Early voting was for anybody who wanted
earth politics, Earl.
Right.
I'm telling you, they'll do anything to stay in power. You know, they'll even harm their own population of voters, man. It doesn't really matter as long as they're in power.
So, look, man, can you hang around one more segment?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we're gonna do one more segment with Pastor Lewis. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
I'm here to love you. My kisses are your crown, and I know so now, my king, I'm here to love you.